Welcome, this is Kathleen Pearl. This is called the Gelad Covenant. All right, there are many covenants in the scriptures. There's the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, the covenant Yeshua cut when he died for our sins. That is the covenant, the lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. But there are also different types of covenants. There's salt covenants, threshold covenants, blood covenants, that have a, what shall I say, a DNA memory in mankind. When we're becoming blood brothers, or making a treaty, or making a compact, contract, an agreement. And the Gelad covenant is a more obscure one, but this is the topic that I want to discuss. There's a scripture in I believe it's Deuteronomy 32, which says that the song of it's actually Deuteronomy 33, is a song of Moses, the prophecy over the 12 tribes that was for the Acharit Hayanim, the end of the ages, the last days. And that these prophecies of the 12 tribes would come to the forefront in the time before the return of the Messianic kingdom, the initiation or inauguration. They were really an inaugural sign. As these tribes, every tribe, their DNA, God says in Isaiah 49, is being watched over. Is it too small a thing for the servant of God to restore the lost tribes of Israel? Hence the sort of obsession with DNA and tracking DNA among mankind right now, and the return of the tribes to the land of Israel, the ancient land. All right, I want to look at this covenant because it was opened up to me, pardon me, in a way that I've never seen it any before. It's an unrolling of the scroll. It's from Genesis 31, and we will start at 43. Jacob had left Laban, as Laban was off the ranch, so to speak. He made a sneak getaway because Laban had dealt deceitfully with him and was profiting over the strength of his youth. He was enlarging his household and did not want him to leave. And as Jacob fled with his two wives, Rachel and Leah, and their concubines, their 12 children, approximately 100 people and their flocks, Laban came running after Jacob to do him harm. Laban had a dream the night before he encountered Jacob, and God said, don't do anything to Yaakov, either good or bad. Now, let's go to Genesis 31:43. Laban answered Yaakov when he caught up with him and said, the daughters are mine, the children are mine. He was a tyrant. Laban was a tyrant. Everything belongs to me. He's a slave master. He and his teraphim, his gods, which Rachel had stolen. And this was a conflict between the gods, the household gods of Laban, the gods of idolatry, and the God of Abraham that Jacob said was the one true God that led him out of Paddan Aram. The flocks are mine. We got a control issue here. Everything you see is mine. But what can I do today about these daughters of mine or the children they have born? So now come, Laban says, let's make a covenant, I and you, and let it stand as a testimony between me and you. And Yaakov took a stone and set up upright as a standing stone. All right, these are stelas. This was common in paganism, but this stone had no markings on it, and it was cut without hands. Stela stones or obelisk or all these other sort of phallic symbols or standing stones, a lot of them had history written in them, or covenants or contracts, or they were set up to their gods. Not so this one. It was a testimony. All right, it looks to the rock Yeshua cut out of the mountains, and Daniel without a hand that crushes all other kingdoms, idolatrous kingdoms, Babylon, great, Rome, and so on. Then Yaakov said to his kinsmen, gather some stones. Okay, it was his kinsmen. They participated. Those of you who are participating were to gather these stones, and they're going to make like this altar, right? And set it, they took the stones and made a pile of them, and ate there by the pile of stones. They took the stones and made a pile and of them, like an altar with stones of not cut out with the hands, rough, a pile, and ate there by the pile of stones. Okay, they had fellowship through the table. And Laban called it Yagar Sahaduta, pile of witness in Aramaic, while Yaakov called it Galed, pile of witness in Hebrew. Hence the covenant of Galed, the covenant of the witness of the stones, the pile of witness, as Genesis 31:48. And Laban said, this pile of witness between me and you today, this is why it is called Galed. And also Hamitzpah, the watchtower, which is the subtitle for this. Hamitzpah, the watchtower, because he said, may Adonai watch between me and you when we are apart from each other. If you cause pain to my daughters, or if you take wives in addition to my daughters, then if no one is there with us, still God is witness between me and you. All right, this is the covenant. These are the terms of the covenant. It is a pile of witness, is a watchtower, and it is the Lord that will watch if you cause pain to my daughters and take wives in addition to my daughters. All right, this is a covenant, a marriage contract, and Laban is calling him accountable to be, Jacob, to be faithful to Rachel and Leah. Laban also said to Yaakov, here is the pile and here's the standing stone which I have set up between me and you. All right, this rock is a recording. This is the record. The rocks will cry out, Yeshua said. The rocks cry out and they testify. May this pile be a witness, and may the standing stone be a witness, that I will not pass beyond this pile to you, and you will not pass beyond this pile and the standing stone to me to cause harm. In other words, we have a boundary here. We have a relational, definitional boundary. This is after Laban had gone and searched through the tents to look for his gods, his teraphim, that Rachel had stolen and sat upon. And it occurred to me that he was going to counsel with his God, that the gods were rising up against the God of Abraham over what? Her excuse was, I'm on that time of month that's common with women. It was a blood covenant. It was their blood, but there was a boundary set between the gods that came out of Mesopotamia or of the Chaldees, or a Babylonian, and the God, the one and only God of Abraham, Isaac, and who? Jacob. And you can't pass beyond this boundary. There's a conflict. But you may not be unfaithful to my daughters, because this is family. Laban, it was Uncle Laban. It was Yaakov's mother, Rebekah's brother. They were cousins. May the God of Abraham, and also the God of Nahor. Who is that? Those are the pagan gods. The God of their father judge between us. All right, this is invoking the terms of the covenant. All right, your God's going to witness. God is witness. This is a watchtower. And these are the gods of Abraham. And these are the God of Nahor. Okay? The God of their father judge between us. What this means is that if Yaakov breaks this covenant of marriage fidelity between Leah and Rachel, that the gods of Nahor, which we call the demonic pantheon, has a treaty right, a covenant right, to bring judgment. The God of their father judge between us. But Yaakov swore by the one his father Yitzhak feared. He swore by Abraham. Yaakov, now, and so I believe it's possible that Rebekah's seed brought a judgment on her because she stole her father's gods. In the process of this battle, and it was about the bloodline, and Joseph eventually went into Egypt. But God saw this ahead of time when he made the Abrahamic covenant and said, your children shall go into the iron furnace in Egypt for 400 years. And Joseph, it was Joseph that brought them in, was sold into slavery, and went into Egypt to serve the pharaohs because of the time of famine that came. Yaakov offered a sacrifice on the mountain and invited his kinsmen to the meal, and they ate the food and spent the whole night on the mountain. So his kinsmen, Jacob's kinsmen, also were part of this covenant. It fell upon their heads to keep it. And then early in the morning, Laban got up, kissed his sons and daughters, and blessed them. And then Laban left and returned to his own place. And Yaakov went on his way, and the angels of God met him. This is crucial. The angels of God met him. He had met, and who, this is shown right here, actually, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's called upon when Moses, or those who rewrote, this conjecture whether Deuteronomy was written by Moses. Most certainly the first three books of the Pentateuch were the Tanakh. But it says, when Adonai came from Sinai, from Seir, he dawned on his people, shone forth from Mount Paran, and with him were myriads of holy ones. At his right hand was a fiery law for them. Okay, the angels showed up, the fiery holy ones. Okay, the angels of God met him, and when Yaakov saw them, he said, this is God's camp. And he called that place Mahanaim, two camps. Who are the two camps? This is conflict. The angels, we're getting ready for a battle here between the gods of ancient Chaldees, the Babylonian gods, and the God of Abraham. He's calling them out to set apart a bloodline, a seed line for the redemption of mankind, the second Adam, the seed of Adam. He's going to call them out. He called them out. And this is the two camps, Machaneim. This is God's camp, and this is the place of two camps of conflict, which actually now is in the northern part of the Jordan, Gilead. And my insight was, is the Lord saying that because this covenant was not kept, there's a judgment. And a lot of this covenant were the Christians, those who became Christians, were of these bloodlines, and they became Christians at the time of the Messiah, but they did not keep faith. They brought another God. The Christian church in the Middle East has been, well, there's a lot of a religious form, but barely the presence of the Lord in the rituals and traditions. There's a lot of form of godliness, but there's no content, there's no spirit of Yeshua operating there. And it permitted these leaders from these Orthodox and Patriarch Church went off and made deals, covenants with Rome, the Romans, and everyone else, and they brought a judgment upon them in order to purge the church. But it was in their bloodline. They were called to count whether they knew it or not. And it breaks my heart, because this is the Ur, the Chaldees, these gods that came out of Babylon, a sin god, was a particular moon god that Islam worships. And it's full of sex magic, violence, and hence Islam is. That is what it is. God is not the Father. There's no God the Father and no love in Islam. And this ties in with a couple of other things. Now, someone else had gotten an insight from the Lord on this covenant. And I listened to them after I got my insight. His is a little different, but it comes from a different angle. But we are basically saying the same thing with different lenses of revelation. And this will, what this tied in for me was, okay, there's several aspects to this, but that the daughters of Eve in Genesis, this fulfillment of the daughters of Eve, the prophecy, she will crush his head and he will bruise her heel. Those women that are full of Jesus and children of light, born again, children of God, that's who those of us are that have come in through the only door of blood. We've entered into this blood covenant. Satan has enmity with them. He knows that they are particular to the fulfillment of the end time church. That's why in Revelation 12, Satan the dragon persecutes the women, those who keep the commandments of God and faith in Yeshua. And this woman in the early church, in the Apostolic Armenian Church, which I'll put a link reference, you can hear some of the things in my last investigative trip into Israel. I heard a docent tour in the Armenian Apostolic Church in the Old City, and the gentleman said the first 3 centuries before men took over control of the church, women were the lion's share of the church. Women were the predominant people at the crucifixion. Only John Mark was there. All the rest of the disciples fled. It was the women and those who were full of the Messiah. But there's enmity, and even the descendants that go down and track down. But this is tied into Mahanim, God's camp, which is the Song of Songs. The Song of Songs is traditionally this love song between Solomon, Shlomo, and the Shulamite. And I'm going to just open this up a little bit in the next segment of the Gilead Covenant. But the camp of the two camps, the Mahanim, is in the Song of Solomon, and I saw the Song of Solomon as the war manual for the last days.